Welcome to the Birds of Alberta podcast. I'm Chris Fisher, co-author of the best-selling field guide, Birds of Alberta. Now, if you get into birdwatching and you let the world know about it, well, fair warning, you are going to get questions, lots and lots of questions. But the questions will not be why. Why did you get into birds? The questions will be what? What bird was that? And in Alberta, there is one what bird was that question that comes up more regularly than any other. It's been asked of me at street parties and bars, family reunions, on the radio, and after keynote speeches. And the question usually goes something like this. So, Chris, I was camping a while ago, or at someone's cabin, or on a walk through the forest, and I kept hearing this one bird over and over again. It sang all morning long and into the afternoon. I even heard it in the middle of the night, but I never, ever did get a look at it. But it must have been big since the voice was so loud. And the notes just kept repeating over and over again. Now, at this point of the story, I usually interject, as there really is no need for any additional detail, nor any embarrassing bird impersonations. The bird in question almost always turns out to be one of our most distinguished singers nesting in our forested lands, with a catchy tune that stands out among the feathered crowd. And it's one of the most iconic voices of all the birds of Alberta. It's the white-throated sparrow. The white-throated sparrow has a singing voice as iconic to Canada's Gordon Lightfoot. Its voice alone would make it a top contender for our national bird, had that not been already awarded to the Canada Jay. Its song is a classic, which ends with a descending triplet that sounds like, "Oh, sweet Canada, Canada, Canada." And in a perfect world, our national anthem would have pirated its melody from this bird. Have a listen to this recording made by Jim and Barb Beck back in the 1990s. Now, I hope you took careful note of the three-note ending, the Canada, Canada, Canada. See, that's how I learned it. I loved it. But 20 years ago, birders started noticing that some of our white-throated sparrows were messing with our Canada, Canada, Canada. And then science took note of this. And what we have learned is that the white-throated sparrow isn't what we once thought it to be. Now have a listen to these more recent singers. You heard it, didn't you? Something seems to have happened to our Canada, Canada, Canada being replaced with a two-note ending, somewhat like na-da, na-da, da-na, da-da. Fortunately, back when these changes started to occur, there was researchers looking at this very thing, such that in 2004, more than 50% of the white-throated sparrows in a particular research plot in Alberta were singing the familiar three-note ending, the Canada song. But only 10 years later, all the males in that same region were singing the two-note na-da, na-da, na-da song instead. This was a trend that was first documented in northern British Columbia, but it spread within a decade east across the entire country. But while the end result, they were heard in Canada's boreal forest from coast to coast to coast, the corrosive chorus conversion, fortunately, did not happen on our soil. You see, scientists have been placing tiny little backpacks on birds, as small as a white-throated sparrow, for many years, and these geolocators track their whereabouts, and the researchers found that birds from Western Canada, where the doublet ending song originated, overwintered in the same areas and influenced juvenile birds that were born in central Canada. So it was down south where the song swapping was done so that the young eastern birds brought with them the western tunes up to their breeding grounds. But it really didn't matter what the young males chose to sing. It all relied on the females' choice up on the breeding grounds. And it turns out, well, the females tended to choose novel variations of the songs rather than the old standards. So we ended up with na-da, na-da, na-da instead of Canada, Canada, Canada. Well, I have to admit that this change was a little unsettling, but in nature, well, even the Greeks knew that the only constant in life is change. And, you know, as naturalists and ecologists, we're probably a little bit more sensitive to that than most, because we see seasonal changes and changes from year to year in the birds we love. And we're pretty good at rationalizing these changes we see in abundance and distribution and behavior in the bird communities. But I gotta admit, even with this minor change of tune with our Canada bird, well, this change hurts just a little bit. So our common white-throated sparrows here in Alberta have thrown us a little curveball recently on what they are singing, and it really hasn't been too long back that there was a similar curveball thrown into what they look like. You see, there's two morphs, basically color forms of these birds that do not change over time. There's the classic white-striped morph, and then the duller tan-striped morph. These morphs are based on the color of the median crown line, which is the middle color that runs down the top of their head. The classic white stripe morph has a really prominent black and white crown and a very bold yellow lore, that little yellow spot located between the bill and the eye. Now the tan stripe morphs, they're quite a bit duller overall, having duller black crowns, duller and less extensive yellow lores, and in fact, less white on the throat as well. A little bit more heavy markings and streaking on the breast. Now, it wasn't too long ago that we all thought that these color morphs maybe represented male and female birds or immature and mature birds, but that proves not to be the case at all. Turns out that explanation may have been too simplistic. And as often the case, well, real life is much more interesting than what we can make up ourselves. You see, there are these two forms. They are genetically determined, and they come about because individuals almost always mate with a bird of the opposing color morph. So males of both color types prefer females with the white stripes, but both kinds of females prefer the tan-striped males. And with researchers paying more and more attention to the specifics of color morphs, they found there were behavioral differences. White stripe individuals tended to be a little bit more macho with greater aggression, whereas the tan-striped individuals tended to be a little bit more nurturing. And this likely accounts for the white-striped females being able to get their tan-striped males, leaving the less aggressive tan-striped females with the less desirable white-striped males. All in all, it ends up having about a 50-50 mix between the morphs, and everyone is happy and nicely balanced. Now, color morphs and song variations weren't at the top of my mind when I was camping along the shores of the Brazeau Reservoir many decades ago. While I was sleeping or trying to get to sleep, I kept hearing a single lone white-throated sparrow singing off in the distance and darkness of the night. That bird inspired me to take a literary stab and to write The Midnight Thrill. There it goes, The Midnight Thrill, a white throat song that breaks the chill. At this late hour, what's its will? Why, oh why, does he sing still? No other singers, no other trill, no wolf or snipe or whippoorwill can be heard from this spruce hill. Why, oh why, does he sing still? Is song a sparrow's sleeping pill? Is he lonely? Is he ill? Or has he simply the night to kill? Why, oh why, does he sing still? In Northwood nights, dark and tranquil, to ready ears from his small bill, relax and enjoy the midnight thrill, and worry not why that he sings still. Now, the reason why I, and pretty much any Albertan who spent some time outside, have heard the call and song of the white-throated sparrow is because they're the second most abundant Canadian songbird. There's about 160 million of them nesting here in Canada. If you were to line them up end-to-end or tail-tip to bill-tip, that would form a line that would run continuously from downtown Calgary all the way up Highway Number 2 to downtown Edmonton. Now, that is a whole heck of a lot of birds, so it's no wonder that we hear them so often. But we actually run into them quite a bit as well on their breeding grounds. You know, you don't often have to go very far in a walk in one of our northern parks, park like Elk Island National Park or Sir Winston Churchill, Cold Lake or Slave Lake Provincial Parks before spotting one eye to eye. You see, white-throated sparrows offer a very spirited defense of their ground nests, so they very rarely let you walk through their nesting territory without a stern warning as they fly out of the woodwork to perch all around and scold you with a persistent offering of alarm call notes. White-throated sparrows are also one of the most common songbirds to stop over in our backyards during migration. You see, they nest north of where most of us live in Alberta, so every year they pass through our yards, both coming and going, and in the fall in particular, when they're not as much in a rush, they'll stop on in, kick through some loose leaf litter, stop by the bird feeder, the bird bath for a day or two, before winging the way south before the onset of the severest winter weather. And on these very same migratory paths are a few bird banding stations located here in Alberta. And one particular white-throated sparrow was captured, then recaptured and re-released 14 years and 11 months after its first capture, making it the very oldest white-throated sparrow ever to be recorded in North America. Now, even though the classic song of the white-throated sparrow that I and so many other here in Alberta grew up with has seen some minor rebranding in the 21st century, the quality of the voice of that bird is still a cut above pretty much any other wild song that we have. If I were asked to rank the most iconically Canadian of our wild voices, I would place the white-throated sparrow in a very respectable third place, behind only the gray wolf and the common loon. Now, how a bird weighing less than a toonie can project and characterize a forest that runs across the northern continents is a delightful mystery, but one that I'm most thankful for. And of course, hearing the white-throated sparrow is always a welcome voice while camping, hiking, doing breeding bird surveys, since no other is as poignant in its simplicity. That voice is soothingly familiar, wrapped as it is in a Canadian accent that perhaps give us all a greater sense of place and of home than any of our other birds of Alberta.